Glory to God. Glory to God. Good to see everyone here this morning in the house of the Lord. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And it has fallen my lot this morning to bring the word. And I pray that God will bless it here this morning. Been feeling this for several weeks. I remember hearing Brother Johnny Godare talk about the preached word, and he said, I've never heard a message that I didn't get something out of. And then he said, there's been a few close calls. Praise God. Hopefully we don't have a close call here this morning, but we can hear from God. Anybody want to hear from God this morning? I want to hear from God. I want to feel God. I want to know that He's here this morning, because I can't do this on my own, but in Him I can do anything. I find myself saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. And then I have to waken up and remember some of the sermons that I've preached where it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, I can't. But it does say I can. I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I need Him here this morning. Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Everybody said pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Praise the Lord. Just want to give this a simple title here this morning, Pain Before the Birth. Pain before the birth. Let's pray and ask for God's help here this morning. God, we need Your word. We're in desperate need this morning. Oh God, we can do nothing without You, but through You we can do all things. Let a spirit of revival come into our church. Oh God, open doors that no man can shut. Close doors that no man can open. Work Your will and Your purpose this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise together. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm feeling a little better here this morning. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, the Lord has taken the liberty many times to keep secret the thing that He has planned for this earth. And not just to this earth, but for families and for people individually. And walking by faith and not by sight is not an option often, but it's the way that God has chosen. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And now, I am not a prophecy preacher, you know that, but I do understand that there are some things that are brought out here in these verses that we read, and they apply over a broad range of situations. And I believe here this morning, if I'm cross with Pastor, he can straighten it out later. But I believe here that Israel is described here as a woman with a crown of 12 stars, which would be the 12 tribes of Israel. And she was with child, which I will say is the Messiah. And when we Now, with this, we can ascertain something that I want to give you this morning. We all have a promise from the Lord. There's a promise in the Word for you. And these promises should give us excitement. The promises of God should give us faith and hope. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. And Paul writing to this church that had so many problems, he said, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay." That means yes or no. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no." Maybe, hope so, that kind of a situation. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yes." Everybody said yes. Yes. "For all the promises." Somebody said all the promises. All the promises. Not half of them, but all of the promises, yeah. Amen, of God are in him are yes, and in him, amen. That means it is finished. Praise God. Unto the glory of God by us. Praise the Lord. There's not a single promise that has been left out of this declaration here this morning. And what we understand then is that when God says something, he stands behind what he says. For we know that God cannot lie. And you can bank on the promise of God. You can bank on the word of God. You can trust in it, and you can declare it. Praise God. And I think this morning, there's some here this morning, and all of us need to do this, is to declare the promise that God has given to you. Amen. All right. And speak it out. Praise God. God said this and that and the other, and it's going to happen. Praise God. God said we could have revival, so we're going to have revival. All right. Praise the Lord. And it's not just a matter of speaking it. It's a matter of getting involved in it. Praise God. And so there are some things on the basic level this morning. And I was really praying that there would be some folks here that we could talk to about this. But I'm sure this will help somebody as well. The first step that we see in the promises of God is that God has promised us an opportunity for repentance. Now, I know that doesn't sound as exciting as what you'd probably like to hear this morning, but the first step is a promise of repentance. And repentance is something that God grants to us. I believe Pastor and I were talking about this once, and he grants us repentance. That means that You don't necessarily have the opportunity until God grants the opportunity. And a couple of scriptures here, Acts 5 and verse 31. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Thank God he has given us an opportunity to repent of our sins. Amen. There would be nothing more horrible in this world to find that God is far away and we can't find him. Amen. I've got to be close to him. I've got to feel his presence in the course of my day. Amen. Because he is my Savior this morning. He is your Savior. He is the Savior of the whole world. And we have the thing that is different with us is that we have taken the advantage and the opportunity to repent. Praise God. Acts 11 and verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Amen. God granted repentance unto the Gentiles. That's you and I here this morning. As far as I know, we're all Gentiles, wild folks. Amen. But God, in His mercy and in His grace, He granted us repentance. That doesn't mean that we have accepted it, but if we accept it, then the promise that comes along with repentance is ours. Well, praise God. And I want to go a little bit further here this morning. I want to talk about the remission of sins, because repentance is not the remission of sins. Repentance is a turning of your life. It is walking away from God and then turning yourself. Metanoeo in the Greek, and it means to do an about face. From what I understand, it's a military term, about face, and they turn and go the other direction. Amen. I thank God that I could go a different direction than what I was going. Praise God. You ought to thank God that He has granted repentance unto you and that you were able to turn your life and go in a different direction. Praise God. And we all, as individuals, need to find repentance. And sometimes whole churches need to find repentance. Well, praise the Lord. There's no harm in saying, God, forgive me. But when we have pride in our hearts and we say, I'm all right, no problems, that's when we really have problems. Praise God. I thank God for remission, for repentance, rather, and that God granted it unto me. I was just a 19-year-old boy, and God got a hold of my heart, and I knew somehow or another. I was raised a Catholic. I didn't know what Pentecost was. I couldn't spell it. I never heard of it before, and my friend began to witness to me, and finally I came to the place where I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed God. And He called me up, and He said, I want you to come to church. And I said, no, I'll come next week. You know, that's always the answer that you get. I'll come next week. And he said, okay. And then he called me right back. And he said, Greg, he said, I feel like you need to come now because you may not ever have another opportunity. Well, that's all I needed to hear. I'm lost without God and there's no other opportunity. I said, no. I was a little bit stubborn. I said, no, I'm coming next week. And but all that week, if I crossed a railroad track on my truck, I looked two or three times to make sure there was no train coming. And I watched very carefully because I didn't want to be lost. All right. Amen. There is something about repentance that is very, very spiritual and very powerful. Praise God. But in repentance, we need to find the remission of sins. And we all know here this morning that remission of sins comes exclusively through water baptism. Yes. Amen. I'm going to talk about this here just a little bit, if you'll help me here this morning. All right. And it is a promise. And this is very, very powerful. Remission of sins is a promise from God. He promised that if we would come in faith and we would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that all of our sins would be washed away, that all of our sins would be remitted or blotted out. Praise God. So what I would like to say this morning, that is, if there is someone here and you keep repenting over the sins of your past, amen. I want you to know you're not in the will of God, because God promised remission of sins, and when they're gone, they're gone. Praise God. When we understand the remission of sins and we are baptized in Jesus' name, amen, we ought to have some joy in our hearts, because baptism is a very spiritual thing. I know in the church that I was saved in, my pastor, Brother Stanford, who's gone on to be with the Lord, there were miracles that took place in the waters of baptism. Jim Healy came to church. He was a Catholic boy and gave his life to God. He got baptized in Jesus' name. He had all sorts of allergies of food. He couldn't eat fried potatoes, and there were other things that he couldn't eat. He'd break out in a rash, and he had this problem. And he got baptized in Jesus' name, and he felt different. Praise God. Yeah. There's something about it. When those sins are gone, the weight is lifted off of you. And he said, I feel like God has touched me. I'm going to go home and fry up some potatoes. Praise God. Right. Nothing like good old fried potatoes. I grew up on that with some ketchup on it. Amen. And I'm very familiar with that. He ate the potatoes. No reaction. Praise God. He ate the other foods that he hadn't eaten in years. No reaction. God healed him in the waters of baptism. Praise God. I know from personal experience that the night that I was baptized, and it was just an old horse tank that was up on the platform, and the water was cold. There was no heater in the water. And that's when you have to have the discerning of spirits. Amen. Yes. Talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Because when the water's cold, you don't know if you're shaken by the Holy Ghost or because it's cold. Amen. Yeah. But either way, remission of sins comes in the waters of baptism. Yeah. And when I was baptized in Jesus' name, God completely, totally delivered me from smoking cigarettes. All right. Now, I don't know if you could picture me smoking a cigarette. I hope not, praise God. But I'm thankful, so very thankful. I tried many times to quit. I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I was going in the direction of my dad, who smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day and died of heart disease. And I probably, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would be dead already. Amen. But God delivered me. I never had another feeling of wanting or desiring a cigarette, and God delivered me of alcohol. God delivered me of drugs right there in the waters of baptism. And I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but there is something powerful about the remission of sins. It's like the Lord comes down and he picks up all of those sins and he lifts them off of you. And the night I got baptized, I felt like I was 3 feet off the ground, and I felt like I was in heavenly places, praise God. And I was in a heavenly place, and God worked a miracle. Amen. Don't go around repenting of sins that God has already washed away. It's a promise. Amen. In Acts 2:38, we know that scripture, that be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. Jimmy Swaggart says it's because of the remission of sins that when you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, there is a remission of sins. And then we are baptized because our sins have already been remitted. That's not biblical. Amen. Noah and his family was saved by water, the scripture says, 1 Peter chapter 3. Amen. They were saved by water, which is a figure of water baptism. Amen. That's why God cleansed the world with water the first time. Amen. It was a picture of baptism. The water that destroyed the world and brought the judgment of God was the same water that lifted the ark up, and they were saved from the destruction. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the water. Amen. I don't want to base my salvation in a Trinitarian Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But my Savior this morning is Jesus Christ. My Savior is Him. And if I'm going to be baptized, and I need to, and you need to this morning, it must be in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. And anybody that tells you any different is not telling you the truth. It's a promise. Thank God. Are you happy this morning that your sins are forgiven? Or do you wake up in the morning feeling guilty? Amen. Do you wake up in the morning every day feeling guilty and feeling down because of your past? I'm telling you, you're not in the will of God. We need to claim the promises of God. We need to speak the promises of God. And when you are feeling that way, you need to verbalize it and say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Amen. And cast that spirit of guilt off of you. Praise God. Well, praise God. And so the Holy Ghost is a promise as well. And if you're here this morning and you're seeking the Holy Ghost baptism, amen. I'd just like to say it's time to declare, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's a promise. And when God said it, He meant it. Praise the Lord. He's not waiting for you to twist yourself up into a pretzel. Amen. He's not looking for you to do jumping jacks for 3 or 4 hours. He's not looking for you to do some great thing and then He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. No, it's a promise. It's a gift. Amen. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And He's got that gift and He's saying, here it is. I want to give it to you. Praise God. But so often, and I understand this, it took me a couple of weeks to receive the Holy Ghost after I was baptized because I was a Catholic boy and I, this loud jumping and running and shouting, I didn't understand all that. And it took me a little bit to receive the Holy Ghost. But I understood after that it was a promise that God promised to me. And so we have the promise, but to put it in perspective, amen, there was pain before the birth. Yeah. Now I said all that to get into this message here this morning. We have a promise, but to put it in perspective, before Pentecost, and Pentecost was the birthday of the church, great things were happening there and revival broke out. How many here this morning wants revival to break out? Yeah, we want revival to break out. Amen. I pray often, God, send us your spirit of healing in our church. We need healing in our church. There's too much sickness in our church. We need to claim the promise of God. But to put it in perspective this morning, before Pentecost, there was a mock trial. And that was a mock trial of our Lord and Savior. Didn't look very good for this fledgling church. Amen. There was much, much criticism. There were assassination attempts. Amen. Now, put this into your own personal life or in the church today. There were many, many other negative things. Amen. In fact, the scripture says there were so many that he was acquainted with grief and sorrow. He was a man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. Amen. So if you have grief this morning, if there are things that have happened in your life and you're going through that grief, it doesn't feel very spiritual. But to put it in perspective this morning, God has always made it, or most of the time has made it, that there will be pain before the birth. Amen. That there will be struggle before there will be victory. There will be a battle before there will be victory. But I'm not going to leave us in the battle this morning. I want to leave us in the victory this morning. All right. Praise God, because there is victory in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Jesus knew that before the birth of a church, there had to be a death and a burial. He understood this. He knew this. His disciples didn't know it. Nobody else knew it, but he knew it. And the Bible says that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. He was able to go through negative situations. He was able to be discredited lied upon and all of that. And he was able to go through it because he looked ahead and he saw a church. Praise God. He saw a church that was worshiping him in heaven, a glorious church that would become his bride for all of eternity. And this morning we're a part of that church. Thank God. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. What that says is that Satan didn't get his way. Amen. That the negative things of this world were not able to overcome the promise of God. Amen. The promises of God are sure. The promises of God are there. They're a rock. Amen. They're a mountain that cannot be moved. Amen. Because God said it, we believe it, and we're going to confess it and live according to it. Praise God. And whatever negative thing you may be going through today, I want to tell you that it is temporary. Amen. It's not permanent, but it is temporary. Praise God. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. I love that scripture. My pastor used to preach from that scripture right there. And we have the morning to look forward to. And weeping may endure in the night. In the nighttime, things are bigger than in reality. Praise God. The shadows look like a ghost. Amen. I remember Freddie Yates, and he'd come to the church and pray. And he said, man, it's scary in that church. Here he is, a big old brute guy, and he's afraid of shadows, amen, creak in the floor, or whatever it is. I used to go to the church when I first got saved. I became the janitor of the church so I could have a key to the church. And I would come to the church and pray past midnight and just spend my time in prayer before the Lord. And there were times that it was scary, amen. And there was some reality to that fear, because one night I was praying at the church, and back over here there was a little bitty office about the size of this office here, and that was pastor's office, and that's where they did the books of the church. And I was praying and I was asking God for this, that, and the other, and I was feeling the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. And I opened my eyes and I looked, and the door of that office was partially open. And I went back there and I realized that someone had broken into the office. And they had broken into that office that night. And they were there. They had vacated the church, but they were behind the Sunday school buses. I didn't realize that. And they were separating the checks from the cash. And they were stealing from the church. And so some fears are legitimate, praise God. But if it's just a shadow, you don't have anything to fear, praise God. And so I thought, well, I need to call the police. And so I called the police, and I parked my car off to the side a little bit. And after a little bit, here comes this car out of the parking lot full of some boys, and they had robbed the church. And I followed them for a little ways, and we never did find out who it was. But, you know, it makes you a little bit scared. Amen. We had a problem one time here at the church. maybe I'm just rambling. I hope I'm not going to be rambling here. But a squirrel got in the church, and it didn't bring a squirrel revival, praise the Lord. But we had some folks living over here in the side of the church after the big flood, and a squirrel had gotten in and gotten above my office and was running around up there and making all kinds of noise. And this big old husky man who was tough and could beat anybody, he called me up, "Pastor, there's a demon in the church. There's a demon in the church." I said, what did it sound like? And he went, he tried to make the noise of this demon that was in the church. And I came over here and I went out the other door and I waited just a little bit, and this little squirrel's head appeared in a hole over there. I said, "Brother, it's a squirrel. It's not a demon. Praise God." But sometimes we build things up in our life and we say it's got to be a demon, but it may just be God's principle working out in your life that there's going to be some pain before there is a birth of the promise of God in your life. Amen. And so whatever negative thing you're going through today, it's just temporary. Joy is going to come in the morning. That's the word of God here this morning. It's not my idea, but it's scripture. And even if you brought on the anger of God through sin, the promises of God are still good. Amen. That's what's so exciting about living for God, is that God loves us. Amen. And God's waiting for you to come back to Him again. Amen. There are some of you that have come back to the Lord. Thank God for that. We're not here this morning. We're not here to put you down. Amen. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's not a one of us here this morning that have not sinned since you got saved. But thank God for mercy this morning. Amen. If it's just a day or two that you had mercy, or if it's years, amen, it's the same. God loves us, and there is a promise of forgiveness. Praise God. So we have this woman, which is Israel, and she's having pains of birth. And it's a painful thing to watch, a woman that is in pain and carrying a child in her womb. There's so many pains and discomforts, and I don't claim to know anything about that. Thank the Lord I'm a man. Praise God. Because I see what goes on with some of the ladies. Well, I would say all of the ladies when they're carrying a child. So many pains and discomforts. Some of you ladies could say amen this morning. They're not going to say amen. And it goes on for a long time. It goes on for 9 months. And some of you, praise God, I'm not going to go there. But for 9 months without much relief. Why did God do it that way? Why didn't God just make it a week or two? And then it's over and it's done. But for 9 months without much relief, her husband and family members will try to comfort her without much success. And, just when she thinks things are going well from the inside, comes this kick. Amen. And some are more active than others. My daughter was more active. My wife, she said that she was going to be an active child, and she was an active child. And she was active in the womb as well. And what I'm talking about this morning is no fun. I really would not want to have to go through that. But thank God that He made a way for the ladies to go through that. And this woman is about to bring forth a child. And this is a child of destiny and greatness. this is a child that is going to be called God with us. But he had to go through the same situation, and she had to go through the same situation that you and I have to go through. Amen. And yet, even though this man-child had a great promise, it was not, it didn't come unopposed. We want revival in New Life Tabernacle. But I want you to know we've had some troubles. Amen. We've had some pain. There's been some disappointments that have taken place, and I'm not going to go into detail about that. But sometimes that's because of the principle of God. Amen. There has to be a pain before there is a birth. This child of great destiny, I believe this church has a great destiny for it. I believe this church has a great promise that is hanging over it. Amen. Many, many things have happened since Pastor Cowan has taken the leadership of our church. Amen. And we have a great revival ahead of us. We really do. I stand against anyone that would say negative things. Amen. About a good man of God who loves God, who has a vision for our church. You're not in the will of God because you're opposing the promise of God. You're actually saying that God's word is not true. But we have a promise here this morning. And it's not relegated to what is going on good or what is going on that is not good. Amen. It's based upon the word of God. Yes, sir. And we ought to thank God, and we ought to come to the house of God with worship in our hearts, with prayer in our hearts. Amen. Because we have a promise this morning. Turn to your neighbor and tell him we have a promise. We've got a promise this morning, and it's from God. And so it was not unopposed. And standing at the birth stool stands a red dragon, and that red dragon doesn't care for the pain of the woman. The Bible says that she was in pain to be delivered, and it was excruciating. She was probably screaming, and some women do that. It's so painful. Some women pass out because it's so painful. And she was there at the birth stool, but the dragon was waiting. He didn't care about her pain. His only intention was to devour the promise that was about to be born. Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Lord here in this place this morning. And I wished I could preach from the housetops here this morning. But there's always pain before the birth. Amen. And then the scripture says in our text, and she brought forth a man-child. The baby was born. And the baby was not devoured. Praise God. The baby lived. The baby had a ministry. And it was caught up to God and was on the throne of God. Amen. Well, praise God. The purpose of God and the plan of God, the plan of God came to pass, and it worked out. So don't worry about what's going on right now. When God said it, he believed it, we need to believe it. Praise God. Because of that. Amen. She brought forth a man-child, and the dragon couldn't stop the angel choir from singing. Amen. I've been in the shepherd's field off of Bethlehem. I've been to Bethlehem, and there's nothing really fantastic about it. The shepherd's field was just a field like here, only instead of fences, they had rock walls everywhere. And out there in the middle of nowhere, the angel choirs begin to sing. Praise God. Well, praise God. I think that's pretty awesome. The devil couldn't stop them. And the devil couldn't stop the wise men from coming and bringing gifts. The devil couldn't stop the star from shining brightly in the night sky. The devil couldn't stop Jesus from having miracles take place. The devil couldn't stop him at all. Amen. Why? Because he was a promised child. And we're a promised church. Praise God. We're a promised church here this morning because the promise is real and valid. Amen. And I just felt like in preparation that somebody here is facing the dragon in your life. And it seems like that your promise is going to be devoured before it comes to fruition. Amen. But the Lord wants you to declare your promise and thank God for your promise as though it's already come to pass. Well, praise the Lord. Because it may not look like much here this morning, but we are going to be kings and priests. And we are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Well, praise God. It doesn't matter if you believe that or not. That's what the scripture says. Amen. The promise of Jesus said that he would someday rule the world with a rod of iron. Amen. No more corruption, no more deceit, no more sorrow, no more wars, no more rumors of wars. I get so tired sometimes of hearing the negative things that are going on in our world. But that's not the reality. The reality is I have a promise. And he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. And the dragon, which wanted to devour this baby, is going to be thrown into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. And he's going to be sealed up for 1,000 years. Amen. I just want to remind you this morning, Israel had 400 years of pain before the birth of salvation. Moses came to lead them to the promised land. 400 years, that's a long time. But the promise of God is true, and the promise of God is real. Hezekiah declared that they had come to the birth pains before God stepped into the situations. He wasn't really fond of all that pain. Noah dealt with a sin-sick world before salvation lifted them up into the promise. And I want to declare this morning that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And all of our troubles are going to be over. And the promised city, that great Jerusalem, is going to appear. And we're going to be able to live in our mansion that he's preparing for us. There's great things ahead for you. Well, praise God. And if you don't believe that, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity of your life. Amen. There's great things ahead for the church. Great things ahead for you as an individual. And the very gospel itself bears out this truth. And I'm going to finish here in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Yes. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Everybody said, he died.
He died.
He died. And let me tell you this morning, I don't understand it or anything like that, but it was very painful. His death was very painful. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. There's nothing that great about being buried. Amen. And so there was a death and a burial. And folks, if we're going to understand the working of God and the principles of pain before the birth, we've got to understand that repentance and baptism is essential for salvation. There's got to be pain before there is birth. Amen. And repentance is not very pretty. It's not pretty. You look at yourself in the mirror of the Word of God and you say, "Dear Lord, I'm so far away from God. How did I get to this place?" And you feel the shame and all of that. And then baptism, we are buried with Him in baptism. Amen. But there's more to it than death and burial. That's the pain part of things for us personally. But there is a resurrection. Praise God. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again, according to the Scriptures. You know, our church world, all they want is the resurrection. But the Scripture says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Think about that. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They want everything to be convenient. They want everything to be smooth and beautiful and all of that. But I want you to know this morning that there are many that are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross represents the pain. The cross represents the sacrifice, as Pastor preached. Amen. The sacrifice of God Almighty robing Himself in flesh and went to the cross. Amen. All the way until Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God Almighty was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God Almighty felt the pain. God Almighty felt the rejection and all of that. But they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. The Bible, it doesn't say that they are the enemies of Christ, because Christ represents blessing. He represents good things. They're not the enemies of that part of it, but they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Amen. And so there has to be some pain before there is a birth. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him." Everybody said crucified. Crucified. That's painful. "That the body of sin might be covered up." No, destroyed.
Yeah.
Pretty harsh words. Destruction. Amen. Crucified. Oh, that's not very much fun at all. No. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "We are buried with Him by baptism into death." Yeah. Amen. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life." That's the resurrection. But he made it so that before there is a resurrection morning, there's got to be some pain of death and burial. Praise God. Take heart this morning. God is for us. There is a promise. Why don't we stand together? And I'd like the musicians to come this morning. Praise God. Thank you so much for indulging me. And I hope this message speaks to somebody's heart this morning. Amen. There is going to be some pain before there's going to be a birth. But take heart, God is for us. God is for me. Amen. And I need to say that regularly. God is for me. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter how negative it is at this particular situation or point in my life. God is for me. Amen. God is for us. His promises, Scripture says, and we read it, are yes and amen. You might smell the breath of the dragon, but remember the promise and have faith in God. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord this morning. Come on, let's lift our hands and love Him. He's a good God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's everything. He's all in all. My life is committed to Him. My heart is with Him. Go ahead, devil, do just whatever God allows you to do. But I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what I need to do to be saved. Praise the Lord. If you're struggling this morning, if you're struggling with past sins that you can't get over, I want you to come and just commit your life to God and begin to thank God this morning for forgiveness. For forgiveness. Many, many places in Scripture it says His mercy endures forever. There's only two or three places where it talks about His anger. And it says His anger endureth for but a moment. We have a God who has tender mercies, loving kindness. Oh, I feel Him here this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We've gone through some pain, but there's going to be a morning, and there's going to be joy, and there's going to be revival. Praise God. Go ahead, talk to God this morning. Let the Lord put this in your heart today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name this morning.